There's a session meeting this week at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Let's just come together in prayer. Lord Jesus, our Saviour, the one who is to come, we come to you now. Our hearts are cold. Lord, warm them by your selfless love. Our hearts are sinful. Cleanse them with your precious blood.
Yes.
Our hearts are weak. Strengthen them with your joyous spirit. Our hearts are empty. Fill them with your divine presence. Come, Emmanuel, enter our lives. Possess them always and only for your son. Next thing, I see you, Lord.
Should not perish, but will have everlasting life.
It's a great verse. It tells us so much about God. But to be honest, sometimes we live with it. It's written slightly differently. I'm going to read any passage suggestion of how sometimes we live regarding that verse. And we think it should be written. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him keeps his nose clean, and makes a significant but sensibly balanced contribution to church life in terms of time and cash, shall have a reasonable expectation of material comfort, physical good health, and ongoing prosperity in the fields of business and emotional relationships, with guidance provided as and when necessary, so that opportunities in all these areas shall not be missed or wanted or wasted. Oh yes. And eternal life extolled in as well. God says, or Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. says, come, and let's now think about God as the heavens. Who compares?
Goodness will lead.
be, for ourselves and for all the seen and the unseen witnesses around us. So we're going to sing today. We believe in God the Father.
Morning all.
Friday, Tilly and I shared our anniversary, and all we want to say is we've had such a wonderful walk over the years that we've spent together. We've had a lovely walk with our Lord. He's always been there for us, and we cannot ask for any more, and we pray that it will just continue. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I got into prison on Wednesday, which made me very happy. But it was quite interesting because I looked at my notebook, and it was exactly a year ago, the last time I went in to the day. That's quite interesting. But it was very fitting, and I did lots of, about 7 one-to-one interviews. And it was quite encouraging. I'll just tell you, one of the men is called Philippe. He's from his parents are ancestor worshippers. They go to church on Sunday, then they go to synagogue on Monday, that sort of thing. And he's very exercised about their spiritual state and state of system. And he knew his sister was getting out of love, and he was worried about what was eternal faith. So he prayed that somehow somebody would go in and we pray with her. He didn't know how that was going to happen because his family lived in Kailicha. And then a few days later, his sister phones, or he phones his sister and talks to his sister, and she said that this man who has a house in Joburg, which he lives there, but also has a house in Kailicha, was walking past their house just along the road, and suddenly felt the Lord telling him there's somebody in that house who needs prayer. So he heard, and he was obedient, and he went into the house, and he prayed with Tbilay's sister. And that's sort of, she'd say, what have you been doing? That led to questions, conversations, and she decided, yeah, she was going to commit herself to Jesus, which was an amazing thing that happened. It's very encouraging that God, we don't have to be there because God is there. We just have to be connecting to God. So that happened, but then his sister got more ill and more ill, and his father wanted to bring the sanctuary and do right ceremony of her. And he was very concerned and didn't want this to happen. So again, he took it to God. And we have some sort of, we always have an idea about how God's going to answer our prayers, but God has his own way to it. So instead of just stopping the sanctuary going and doing the right, the Lord took to be a system to be with him. So before any of these things happen, which isn't what he expected, but it's a comfort because he knows that she's out of reach, she's with Jesus now, she's out of reach for all these other things. So it was very encouraging to me and his mother. But yeah, it's a difficult situation, but a lot of them are still going strong, so please keep praying for them. I pray that I'll be able to get back in the next couple of weeks before I head back.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
In life, I've got so much joy in my heart for two reasons. Amen.
Amen.
The first one was about Bunda, who brought the Buddhism. According to history, before he gave up the ghost, he said he wished to see the light. He wished to see the light. And that light is Jesus Christ. And according to the history book I read, the light visited him. Jesus Christ visited him before he passed on. And the second joy I have in my heart is about the new Pope of Roman Catholic. He said he has declared to all the Roman Church in the world that only Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. Only Jesus alone is the Savior. And they shouldn't add Virgin Mary to it. Though Virgin Mary played a very pivotal role in saving humanity, only Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. And that is what I want the whole world to know, that no founder of any religion can be our Redeemer. No human, no matter how he or she is, can redeem you except Jesus Christ alone. And from today onwards, all Roman Catholic Church, when they are praying, will not involve Virgin Mary, but they will mention only the name Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Amen.
morning. I want to read you a piece this morning instead of just prayer. Why go to church? And the interpretation of the word Bible. A churchgoer wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church every Sunday. He wrote, "I've gone for 30 years now, and in that time I have heard something like 3,000 sermons, but for the life of me I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time." The preacher and the priests were wasting theirs by giving sermons at all. This started a real controversy in the letters to the editor column, much to the delight of the editor. My page doesn't want to turn. And for weeks until someone wrote this letter, "I've been married for 30 years now. In that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this, they all nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me these meals, I would be physically dead today. Likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today. When you are down to nothing, God is up to something. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Thank God for our for our physical and our spiritual nourishment. If you cannot see God in all, you cannot see God at all. The Bible is spelled B-I-B-L-E. It simply means basic instructions before leaving earth. Amen."
I think this, I said this morning to Sunetta, you know, the love of God surrounds us this morning. I don't know if you can sense it, but I felt it. And that is why, you know, I'm excited too. You know, the song says, "I am blessed, I am blessed. Every day of my life I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed, I am blessed." Yes, today is the 16th of June and... Oh, sorry, no. So blessed I am. Bring confusion, sorry. Okay, it's the 16th of November. And it was 16th June that I had this journey. Wow. But I must say, God is faithful. I didn't want to come to testify. But God is faithful. You know, I shared with Dawn just now a few minutes... I was trying to do the washing, with a hand washing. I washed like this. But yesterday, a secret soak I saw, I washed like this. And I felt there a difference has come. So God is at work, slowly but surely. I'm not pushing Him, I'm not rushing Him. I'm waiting patiently. I'm excited. Shall we pray? Father, thank you. Oh God, thank you that it's only you that can allow us to be so joyful, because your word says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Sometimes, Lord, we're running out of strength and forget, Lord, to give you praise, to give you honor, to give you glory, because everything belongs to you. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, we all need you this morning, not only in this building, but outside and around the world. People need you, my God. Lord, we are desperate for you. Lord, we need you to pour your spirit out, my God, for a revival to break through in the lives of the individuals in the the name of Jesus, Lord, because it is only your Spirit that can satisfy the hearts of your people. Lord, I know that nothing is too hard for you. What's impossible with man is possible with God. Lord, people need you for the healing. People need you to provide for the need in the name of Jesus. People need you to be set free. People need you to be delivered, my God. There are nations that undergo pressure. Lord, we also a nation, but this morning we know who we are in Christ Jesus, but we bring those who are suffering before you, and we ask you to release your power, my God. We ask you to stretch forth your hand and do what you have in mind for them for today in the name of Jesus. Father, let your will be done. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. There's so much injustice, my God. Lord, we see it with our physical eyes, Lord, and you know those, there are some that are fighting, but your word says that the battle belongs to God, and the victory is ours. Therefore, Lord, let us lift up our eyes unto the hills. Let us become still and know that you are God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. We love you. We adore you. Thank you that you are working out. You are working things out for us, Lord. Not only for your children, but for whosoever who's calling upon the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, and they shall be saved. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you. We bless you. We give you honor. We give you glory. Thank you. We can just lift up Wellington. We give Wellington to you. We give your people to you. We give every situation to you. We give every home to you. Every corner of Wellington, everywhere, from the front to the back, on the farms, everywhere, we give it to you, Lord. You take charge, because your eyes is going to and fro upon the face of the earth, my God. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are watching over your children. In Jesus' name, bless your servant, bless your word, continue, Lord. Lord, because you are here, you are here. We are rest assured that you are here. You will not leave us as orphans. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We adore you. Bless your word, Lord. Bless your servant. Bless your children. Bless, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. And ask his mercies. But so much of thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. A warm welcome to you all. I've got two announcements. Before the announcements, thank you so much for coming forward and sharing. Keith, for praising God. I know for some of us that's challenging sometimes to come forward and speak in public. But I do want to encourage you to continue to do that. So praise God for that. And then for Brother John for sharing and reminding. I saw the article, but it is a wonderful thing that the Pope has announced. I'm not sure what the implications of that would be in terms of how it would actually work out, but I'm very grateful. And you'll see our series, I don't want to get into that yet, but so thank you for sharing, for coming forward. And then two announcements. The first announcement is to deal with December on the 13th and 14th of December. That's the Saturday and Sunday. On the 13th, we're having our Christmas carol sing-along, and we will also have two guests. They will come and sing and have some original songs as well. So I want to we'll tell you the exact time in the weeks to come. So that's on the 13th, the Saturday. It'll probably be in the it will be in the evening. It will be probably 5 or 6, but we'll confirm that. And then on the 14th, we will not have a worship service in this building. We will be gathering with other believers at Huguenot High School. There's an initiative that many of the churches in Wellington will be coming together to pray and worship together. So we will have our worship service at Huguenot. Again, the time, we will indicate it. So we are in our November series on the Great Reformation Truths. And I think it, I mean, that's why I wanted to speak about what the Pope had said, but I will speak about that when we come to that part where we speak of Christ's all-sufficiency, Christ alone, that our salvation is by Christ alone. And that was one of the things that the aspects of our faith that the Reformers highlighted. And there's been a lot of opposition to that from the Roman Catholic Church. The Pope having now come forth and saying that salvation indeed is through Christ and Christ alone is a wonderful return to truth. So we've been dealing, or we are dealing with the five solas, and it has to deal with different aspects of our faith. That I started off with, which is normally when the solas are spoken about, given last, but everything is for God's glory. And we say, we speak of sola script, only Scripture, that Scripture is the final authority for all believers. We speak of only, we are saved only by faith, and that only by Christ, that and through God's grace. So, sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura, soli Christus, and only for God's glory, soli Deo gloria. Initially, we may think that these are dusty slogans from the 1500s when the Reformation came about. But when you look at them, and that's what I'm hoping to accomplish, you will see that these solas are guards around the gospel, anchors for the soul, and bright lights that lead to Christ. And so the sola we come to today is sola fide, through faith alone. If you were to ask Apostle Paul, Paul, how can a sinful human being stand righteous before a holy God? He would take you directly to Romans 3, from verses 21 to 31. This seems to me to be the mountain peak of his theology. It's the very heart of the letter to the Romans. And I believe it's one of the most urgent aspects of the gospel, the message that the church needs today. You see, because unfortunately, many Christians or many people that have grown up in the church live with confusion, even fear or bondage, simply because we do not understand what faith is. I mean, if I were to ask you, what is faith? Are you able to give a sensible answer to someone who has not grown up in the church, doesn't know Christ? Because you see, we need to understand what faith is and how God uses faith to justify sinners. So this morning, let us allow Paul, we let Paul define what faith is for us. And we will see that the righteousness we need, the righteousness that God requires, is a righteousness that God himself provides. And so we receive this righteousness not by performance or through works, not by effort, but by faith alone. For as long as humans have been around, we have tried to reach God. And we've often imagined salvation like climbing a ladder. And if you climb high enough, if you try hard enough, eventually you may reach God. And many Christians also live this way, always climbing, always striving, always exhausted. But the gospel in Romans announces something different, something radically different. You see, God comes down the ladder in Christ. We do not go up. We do not climb our way up. It is God through Jesus Christ that descends to us. And this is the essence of sola fide, faith alone. It's not works, not performance, and it's definitely not moral improvement, being a better person. So let us walk into Paul's argument and see how God justifies sinners. Don't take offense at the word sinners. You comfortable to say it? Sinners. When somebody calls you a sinner, do you? That's what the Bible says. Sinners. So, let's see how God just justifies us. Not through the ladder of human effort, but through the cross of Jesus Christ. So turn with me, or you can see on the screen, Romans chapter 3 from verse 21 to 31. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. This is the word of the Lord. So we see in this passage, the gospel reveals a righteousness from God. And so Paul begins with this, but now. This but now gives us great, it's probably the most hope-filled words in Scripture. But now, for three chapters, Paul has shown that Jews and Gentiles alike stand guilty before God. But now. But now God has intervened. But now a new way has been opened. But now hope has appeared. And so we read, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known. So Paul is saying there is a righteousness that you cannot produce, that you cannot do, but God can. There is a righteousness that you cannot earn, but that God gives. There is a righteousness that you do not deserve, but God provides. And so when we look further, we see that verse 24 explains this when he says, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So, what does justified mean? It's very important to understand this. To justify does not mean to make someone better, to make someone morally better. That is sanctification. That is the ongoing work of the Spirit. When we are transformed, we become better people. Sanctification. But to justify is really a legal declaration. Justification is God legally declaring us righteous because of Christ. It means that God declares the sinner righteous, not because of our or the sinner's righteousness, but because of Christ's righteousness credited or given to them, to us. And so you stand before God not in, as the Bible describes it, in our filthy rags, but we stand before God clothed in Christ's perfection. This is the gospel. This is what it means to be justified. A legal declaration. Nothing about being better. Nothing about actually having changed. Just justified. So the gospel that Paul is proclaiming and writing about is reveals a righteousness from God. And then we see that this righteousness that he reveals in the gospel is received through faith. Paul says, the righteousness, this righteousness, is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It's in verse 22. This righteousness is given by faith, or through faith, by all who believe. To all who believe. And again, this is sometimes where we become confused. What exactly is faith? Just this week I heard somebody ask that question. And very often we turn towards Hebrews and look at Hebrews 11 verse 1 and we would quote that scripture. But what is faith? Some think faith is trying harder. Some think faith is positive thinking. Or that faith is moral effort. I think we need to look at this deeper. We really need to dig deeper on this point. Why? Because Paul is talking about the very instrument, faith, that God uses to save us. So we need to know what it is and be able to articulate it. We need to be able to say what it is confidently. What is faith? Well, faith involves at least three things. It involves knowledge. You must know who Jesus is and what he has done. You see, faith is not just ignorant emotion. Rather, faith is rooted in truth, in the evidence revealed in Scripture. So it involves knowledge. But it also involves assent, agreement. You have to have faith, you have to agree with what God says. There's a couple of things you have to agree with. You have to agree about your sin. You have to agree about Christ's sacrifice and about God's promises. But you see, knowledge, the first point, and agreement is not enough. Because even demons have knowledge about God, that God is one, and they agree that God is one, God is there. They have both, but knowledge and agreement is not enough. Faith also involves trust. So there's knowledge, there's that agreement or assent, but there's also trust. And this is the essence of biblical faith. Faith is not believing in yourself. It's not believing in belief. Faith is not doing your best and hoping that God does the rest. So if I do what I can do, God will take care of the balance. Faith is personally resting in Christ alone for this righteousness, for the righteousness that comes from God. In other words, it's taking your hands off your own efforts. It's not trying to get saved by what you do. It's putting the full weight of your salvation on Jesus Christ. And I suppose a good way to illustrate it, something that we use almost every day. I don't think there's a day I don't use a chair. Faith is like sitting on a chair. Now, you can examine it. You can talk about it. You can even admire it. But you're not trusting the chair until you put your full weight on it. You see, saving faith is not admiring Jesus, or even believing that he exists, or believing that he died on the cross. Faith is relying on him alone for your salvation, putting your trust in him. In other words, faith says, Christ is enough for me. Not faith and works, not faith and feelings, not faith and rituals, not faith and a great amount of sincerity. Faith in Christ alone. Because Christ alone saves. And this is exactly what Paul means in verse 28. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Another way of looking at faith is that faith is the empty hand that receives Christ. And faith is how righteousness is received. Received, not achieved. You see, faith does not contribute merit. All that faith does is it clings to Jesus. It rests on him, in him. It is on the cross that God's justice and mercy meet, at the cross. God presented Jesus Christ as the atoning sacrifice. At the cross. You see, at the cross, God remained just, punishing sin fully, to the full extent. So he's not only the righteous judge, he's also the justifier, declaring sinners righteous. It's like being rescued. If you're drowning and a rescuer jumps in, the lifeguard jumps in, well, you contribute nothing to being saved except the need to be saved, and not fighting the rescuer. Because that sometimes happens. If you ever try to rescue somebody and they're fighting you in the ocean, it's a difficult business. You contribute nothing to being saved except the need to be saved. In the same way, Christ does all the saving. Faith, all faith does, it clings to the Savior, clings to the rescuer. And then Paul goes on. He says, if salvation is by faith alone, then where is boasting? Boasting dies. In other words, my heritage, when he's speaking to the Jews, the Jewish heritage, with all the promises and the long history of covenantal relationship with Yahweh, our ethnic identity, all of that, there's no boasting in anything. Even today, some people have such great pride in their denominations. The way we do things is the best way. In fact, it's the only way. But faith leaves no room for pride, because faith points away from ourselves towards Christ. It should always be doing that. But the other thing is that faith is that faith is never alone. Faith that justifies, the empty hand that receives, that faith is never alone. Paul defends the unity of God's saving work for both Jew and Gentile. For both those who have a history with the covenantal God, Yahweh, creator of the universe. But he makes it clear, faith establishes the law, meaning that true faith leads to obedience. And so when you read James, faith without works, James says, is dead. It's not that you need faith and works to be saved. So you need works as well? No, the kind of faith you need results in obedience. So we are justified by faith alone. But the faith that justifies is never alone. And so how do we apply this? We can rest in Christ's finished work, not in our performance. In fact, I've gone maybe to the other extreme where I've had to, and so I almost want to add a corrective. Remember at some point I told you don't have to come to church? Do you remember that? Or some people took me seriously, they didn't. Because church doesn't save you. Being here on a Sunday morning doesn't save you. But one of the results of having come to faith is a desire for regular instruction in God's word, regular fellowship with believers, worshiping together with others. So rest in Christ's finished work, not in performance. And that's true, and I should. But you see, when you see the result of people not coming to church, it's not good. But I'd rather have people be saved and understand salvation and not come to church. Your assurance is not in how strong your faith is. Your assurance is in how strong your Savior is. So don't think you need this special, strong faith to be saved. Faith is the empty hand that receives what Christ has done for us. And so let faith lead you to a joyful trust. Faith doesn't grow by focusing on ourselves, but by looking at Christ, by looking at the Savior. And so, how do we apply it? By living a life of grateful obedience. Again, not to earn God's obedience, not to earn God's love, because you already have it through Christ. You already have God's love. You can't earn it. Allow me to conclude. This is probably that aspect of the Reformation. We can say that by faith alone. It's the heart of the Reformation. The five solas are, but it's the heart of the gospel. You see, some of us are so exhausted from trying to be righteous, ticking all the boxes. And some of us are weighed down by guilt because we find we can't always tick those boxes when we feel they should be ticked. And some of us are living under the lie that we must earn God's favor by what we do or what we give. But you are justified by grace through faith because of Christ. As I've said, faith is simply the hand that takes hold of the Savior. Yet I add an empty hand. And so I want to encourage you to come to Him, the Savior. Come to Him. Trust Him. Rest in Him. This is the faith that justifies the ungodly, that justifies people that are separated from God. Justifies them and makes us children of God. Lord, I want to ask that you would help us to understand what faith is and how we can be in right standing in righteousness before you. Lord, I've spoken the words, but you need to apply it. You need to open our hearts and our minds to receive what is truly spiritual revelation. And so as Paul has revealed your word and your gospel, Lord, may we be able to receive it. Lord, may this bring about a great harvest in our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Sweetest friend. darkness seems to hide its face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone.
I want to ask for those of you who've not yet put your trust in Jesus, or you want to be sure, I want to ask that you just come and sit in front here, and I'll speak to you afterwards, after the service, but that you just come and sit so we can discuss some of it. If you're not 100% sure, you want to clarify certain issues, I'm just going to have a chat with you afterwards. So I won't be greeting anyone at the door. If you do want to speak to me afterwards, please just hold on a few minutes. There's tea and coffee as well. Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you for your amazing grace and your wonderful love. Thank you, Lord. The love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts and minds. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.